birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Jeremy Booth. I love how I'm able to find one of your baseball cards or baseball card pictures every year for your birthday. I hope you appreciate that.
I did. I saw it. I'm actually, I was laughing when you posted it because it's always something you pull out of the bag of tricks. Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see what you got in the pocket. Yeah, I never quite know what it is. Something's coming out, but it's definitely gonna make me smile. That's for sure.
Because it was with the Newark Bears, I almost wrote, "Don't poke the bear."
That's you. You know, don't poke, especially on the front foot of my swing, like I was on that part.
Yeah, what was that? That's kind of like you foul. I imagine you fouled that pitch off. I mean, remember, but
flew out to right.
You do remember?
Yeah. So, come on, man. Slider down and away on the front foot, trying to defend something, just kind of flipped it out there. F9.
Hey, what do we make of what the Angels have done? Waving the white flag. Waving. Not only waving the white flag, but placing on waivers Giolito, Lopez, Moore, Grichik, and obviously, as many know, the Guardians claim Giolito, Lopez, Matt Moore, the Yankees. It's amazing how Harrison Bader's time went very quickly with New York. The Reds claimed Harrison Bader, Hunter Renfroe. Josh Donaldson is now a Brewer. But I think the big story is what the Angels have done. I can't remember a team doing what they did. I can't remember that happening in a very long time. You?
Well, if by long time you mean ever. I mean, I don't know that I've seen a team go all in, so to speak, to acquire veteran players to make the playoffs, and then a couple weeks later go, "Hey, you know what? Nah, we don't want any of you. We're just kidding. Here you go. Anybody can have you for free." You know, I don't know that I've ever seen that. Now, you know, AL West is an interesting division. You've got Oakland doing whatever they're doing. You've got the Angels now setting records for absurdity with whatever they're doing. You got the Mariners, which dealt away one of their best arms, who are now leading the division pretty much. And you got the Rangers, who have, you know, found a way to stick around a little bit. We talked about this at the beginning of the year, a couple different times. I said I thought they'd fade right around now. They just haven't held their lead. So, you know, might have got one right in there in 7 years, you know. And then you got the Astros, who have had a very productive year, although it hasn't come in the way they'd like. It's been more offensive for me than on the mound, which if you started the year, we knew they were thin on the mound. Hold on. Don't get offended. They were thin on the mound, okay? And now you've got some of their better arms who aren't performing. So it's interesting what's going on in the West. And it'd be even more interesting to see how the Astros handle the Yankees this coming weekend.
We have some breaking news.
Do we?
Yeah. I there's something that was just posted on Twitter 21 minutes ago, and I'm not quite sure what it means. There's the post of a horse. From Jeremy Booth. It says some of...
Okay, go on.
It says, "Some of you dudes are predictable, even down to the way you gather data or the players that all of a sudden are on your radar. That's okay, though. Keep doing you, boo-boo. Hashtag we got now." Would you care to clarify or expand on this? The good thing is there is not a limited number of characters. Well, I don't know. Is there a limited number of characters anymore?
Not for me.
No. All right, not for you. But anyways, do you want to get into what prompted all this?
Well, first of all, the picture
at 11:49 p.m.
Yeah, the picture I used, I think, is a pretty good picture. You know, I think that's pretty good. And I'll admit that you know I got that picture yesterday
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a previous tweet. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I admit I got that picture yesterday from Danny Ardoin. I was giving him a little hard time and about something. Danny sent me that picture with the horse with the side eye. It's great. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm going to use that one forever. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, what's going on. You got, you know, data partners out there that we've been using. And, you know, so it's like, if you know, you write down, like, the playbook here. And then let's put it out there. We're going to do this, do this, do this. And then just, like start counting down, you know. This group's going to copy that. This group's going to add to that. You know, and then there's players that these guys whose names they can't spell all of a sudden winning awards. Like, it's unbelievable, you know, other places. And I'm happy for the players, and I'm happy for the overall structure. By the way, Jason, you know me, man. There's always some other stuff in the hopper. There's like, you know, four or five other things that I've got. You know, you brought the baseball card out of the pocket. I got some in my right pocket. I got some in my left pocket, some in my hip pocket. If I had a shirt pocket, there'd be something in there. I got all kinds of pockets. So, you know, when it comes to what is coming, what's next, there's, I don't know. It might just, let's just call it the Future Star Series program. Let's just call it that. Let's call it the Future Star Series program and all the things that go with it. You got the West Coast over here. You got the pros on the East Coast over there. You know, you got some stuff that might have, you know, there's things in that are there that is just going to make all of this real fun. You know, and it's funny because years ago, I don't know if I ever told you this, years ago, I had a dream about my career. Years ago. Okay. Yeah. It was mid 20s, 26, 27. I'm going to tell my mom about it. And, you know, I woke up in a Taiwanese prison and Robin Williams was my roommate. And I was laughing. And I don't know what that was about. You know, I don't know what that was about. But I do know that I turn around right now and some of this stuff has felt like a Taiwanese prison. And Robin Williams has always kept me laughing. So I think there is some symbolism that went on starting back then going to today, because I'm going to be laughing a lot here real fast.
A Taiwanese prison,
don't ask
and
me
Robin that. Williams is your cellmate.
Yeah, so, you know, back then, Taiwan was minor league purgatory. You know, that's where you went. Like, you know, you minor league forever, you went to make some money. So Taiwan was the place. You know, you turn around now and you've got, you know, Robin Williams is always one of my favorite comedians. He was making me laugh. Just remember waking up in a cell in Taiwan for no reason whatsoever. Not like I did anything. I didn't do anything. No crime, no nothing. You know, just ended up in a cell. Robin Williams making me laugh. It was great. I was laughing my head off and I woke up. Never understood it till, you know, maybe yesterday. I think I got it. Man, I got it yesterday, what that was about.
Were you playing for the Monkees or the 7-Eleven Lions? Or
I wasn't playing baseball, but there's
China,
no reason why.
The China Trust Whales, although they're defunct.
There's no reason why I'd be in Taiwan except for the fact that I was playing baseball for somebody. I mean, it's Taiwan. Like, it was going, you know, I don't wake up. You don't wake up in the morning one day. You know what sounds cool? I'm going to go on vacation to Taiwan for about 2-3 weeks. You know, no one does that. You know, it's not what happened. So, you know, I'm sitting over here and in that time of life, and it was just that place you go. It was just that place you go in that part of your career. And somehow Robin Williams showed up. And now I understand 20 years later, I understand why, because I'm telling you, I'm laughing every day in that Future Star Series program.
I'm impressed that you even remember that. The Martian is coming. Do we care that The Martian is coming?
I mean, a lot of guys are getting rushed to the big leagues. People are just getting brought up. You know, these teams aren't winning.
Jason Dominguez, the Yankees phenom, although let's be honest, from where he started as a Yankee, $5.1 million signing bonus out of the Dominican, touted as the next Mickey Mantle / Mike Trout / Bo Jackson, to then being, I think Baseball America had him as the 64th best prospect in the game. He was, now granted, small sample size, hitting over more than 400 in 7 games at AAA. But the dude's tiny, man. He's like, I mean, he's thick, but he's tiny. He's like a little fire hydrant. The Martian. Do we care that the Martian has made the big leagues?
So, first of all, physically, he reminds me of Delwin Young Jr. It's a compact frame. It's a you gotta look him up. You gotta look him up. Okay,
I know who Delwin Young is.
Short arms, you know, deep. Delwin could hit, and I don't know if we should celebrate the Martians landing on Earth. I don't know if that's what we're doing. I mean, he's arrived. I don't know. I think that the start of the year we weren't real sure anymore what we had, and all of a sudden now he's in the big leagues. Good for him. We'll see him this weekend in Houston. I will see him myself. I saw him a year ago in the Futures game. I thought he had a better left-handed swing than he did a right-handed swing. I was standing with Mike Farron and Jim Duquette. You know, Mike was giving me a little bit of the background, let's say. You know, and then sure enough, you know, Dominguez stayed on the ball, I think went deep. you know, as a left-hand hitter. So, you know, from the scouting part of things, you know, if you were going to say, I don't know, get inside the mind of a scout, you know, you might be able to find some of those things and see what he would be able to do. I think he's going to be a good player. How good, we'll find out when he, you know, when he arrives, but good for him that he's there. The Yankees need something. They need something. You know, I'm sure when I see Booney and Cashman tomorrow, I'll say that, hey, you know, you guys need something. I don't know what it is, but you need something. You know?
He's listed as 5'9". If he's listed at 5'9", he's smaller than that.
Might be generous. I think Birdie's taller than he is.
But, hey, look at what Altuve does, right?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, he's got short arms. He's got some strength. He's good to the – he's direct to the baseball. You know, we'll see – we'll see what happens, whether he's ready or not. I mean, the Yankees need something. Volpe's in the big leagues. You know, the standard is different now for guys arriving. Nothing against these players and their talent, but it's different. There's less levels. It's more accelerated. Guys go in and they go back out. We'll find out.
The headline – and tell me if this might be a quick pump the brakes – Yankees owner excited by young players, hints at change.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's from ESPN. New York Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner says he's excited to see what an influx of young players will bring to the major league team over the final weeks of a lost season, and also hinted that changes could be coming to how the team utilizes analytics or all Muppets. Right, use Muppets. The Yankees officially plan to call up top prospects Jason Dominguez and Austin Wells on Friday. So, and guess who their first taste of the big leagues is against?
That
Justin Verlander.
That's going to be fun. You know, yeah. I don't know what that means from a young Mr. Steinbrenner. I don't know what that means. What I do think it means from a player standpoint is, once again, the Yankees need something. They need something to help. Are you excited for change? These guys going to arrive? Are you going young? I don't know. But they need something that's going to give them a boost, because they've been tough to deal with. They've been tough to watch. They've been tough to handle, tough to sense. You know, they weren't hitting too many strikes hard. I mean, you know what I mean? There's some stuff that they were doing that they needed to change, and I'm glad that they're addressing it somehow. So I hope change is coming, because whatever's been happening ain't been working. And I know this. I know that there has been – some internal discussion, because you're in New York and you're in that fishbowl, as you well know, and you're the New York Yankees, act accordingly, like we talked about before, and you're playing like that, there's going to be some problems. And that's what's going on. They have to have had this type of discussion to start making some of these changes, because what else they got to lose? They ain't making playoffs.
Last baseball book you read was, I think, the Astros book, was it?
The last baseball book I read was Inside the Mind of a Scout.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. All right. So I get a lot of books. I buy them online. I like a lot of old baseball books. And I thought that periodically on the podcast, I could bring in a book that I've just read and give you a little book report. This one is 108 Stitches, Loose Threads, Ripping Yarns, and the Darndest Characters from My Time in the Game, Ron Darling with Daniel Paisner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Daniel Gutierrez.
No, not him. Jeremy, I like this book.
Do you?
I like this book. Let me read you quickly two passages. So he breaks it down basically by alphabet, but it doesn't go A, B, C, D, E. It's spread out throughout the book.
Was it an Amazon bestseller in 12 categories?
I don't know, but
all right, just want to check.
Why do you know a book that
I've heard of one?
Do you know of a
heard
book
of,
okay
for the one, it's, you know, just check. I want to make sure we're apples to apples.
Remember Greg Jeffries? Of course you do.
I do.
Greg Jeffries was an amazing young talent, one of the best switch hitters I ever saw. Trouble is, he was a kid without a position and without a sense of humor. When he joined the club after winning Baseball America's Minor League Player of the Year award twice, he seemed to take himself a little too seriously. He didn't do tentative, apparently. Naturally, some of our guys, the Mets, gave Greg a hard time. They wrote him about the self-important way he carried himself and how he never smiled. They even wrote him about that extra G at the end of his first name. Basically, the dude loved his bats. And a bunch of my teammates, who shall go nameless, rallied round a not-so-harmless prank suggested by one of our singular teammates, who shall go named Roger McDowell, who put it out there that we should saw Greg's precious bats in half and put them back in his bag. This seemed like a good idea to all concerned. All concerned, that is, except for Greg Jeffries.
Sounds to me like you needed the Robin Williams guy in the clubhouse. You know, Greg might need him on his shoulder.
Greg Jeffries never forgot that Roger McDowell had been the mastermind of this episode, and a couple of years later, after Roger had been traded to the Phillies, the friction between them led to a bench-clearing brawl. All right, again, one more. Remember Jose Oquendo?
Of course they do.
Jose Oquendo went to have some excellent years with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was my teammate in Tidewater, AAA, International League, Ron Darling writes. Jose could play. Now, what do you remember about Jose Oquendo?
Me?
Yeah.
He's a pretty good defensive player.
Yeah.
That's it.
So he's about 19 when he gets to the big leagues. Ron Darling writes, Jose could play. To my eye, he looked like a young Ozzie Smith. Cannon for an arm, soft hands, excellent range. I wasn't the only one who saw his tremendous potential. He was a natural at short. Oh. The knock on Jose early on was he wasn't much of a hitter. Now, he gets called up, and basically, the big problem is in 1983, Frank Howard is the manager. Even though this guy is the player of the future, Frank Howard was the manager of the present, and he was worried about his own future. So they have this game where they're up 1-0 against Andy Hawkins and the Padres, and Bob Baylor had singled in a run with an infield hit, immediately stole second, igniting a meager Sunday crowd of 9,000. So it's 1-0 in the bottom of the third. Bunch of people on base. Frank Howard sends in Rusty Staub to pinch hit for Jose Oquendo. In the bottom of the third inning. It was a witless, heartless, gutless move on the manager's part, and everyone on the bench ached for Jose in just that moment. He was a good kid, enormously talented, and we all felt for him, writes Darling. The fans, too, sprinkled about the stadium, seemed a little stunned by the move. Granted, Rusty was probably the game's premier pinch hitter at the time. In another world, on another team, blah, 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 blah. The move left Jose Oquendo in tears. A full body sob. He was crying openly. And to this day, Ron Darling feels for that kid. It was unbelievable, unconscionable, the way Frank Howard managed this situation. And here's the killing part. I don't think Jose ever recovered from that moment. This is a good book, man. He's got a lot of good stuff in there.
Did that happen in Tidewater?
No, this is in the big leagues.
That's in the big leagues with the Mets?
Yeah.
Oquendo got to the big leagues with the Mets?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was Cardinal the whole way.
No. Listen, when you look at what that crew, Joe McElvain, and all the scouting and the
development. Worked with Joe Mack twice. I know Joe.
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, he's saying Jose Oquendo, who I think eventually did become an all-star. I'm not 100% certain. I'm not going to look it up. It's possible that he and not Rafael Santana is your shortstop in 86 if this incident doesn't happen. But anyways, I really enjoyed that book. What's that?
Who plays first base?
For the Mets that year?
Yeah.
On what team?
I'd say if Oquendo's on the team, who plays first base?
Oh, well.
Does Backman slide over and play first base? And Santana plays
second? I don't. Oquendo is not part of that trade, Jeremy.
It was not part of that trade?
Nope. It was Rick Ownby and Neil Allen, I believe.
Who were they?
Neil Allen was pretty good.
Don't answer that. It's we got to focus on the Astros.
So here's the deal. Keith Hernandez was my favorite player growing up. So
pretty good player. He's a good player.
Oquendo was not in that deal.
You
want to talk about the Astros next time?
Okay.
I don't think we have much time, and it's late.
It is late.
It is late.
How about I say this about the Astros? Let me give you three sentences about the Astros, what's coming up in the next week, okay? You got the Jason Dominguez-led New York Yankees coming to town tomorrow.
Okay? The Martian!
You got that. We're going to see what the Astros do. They got Verlander apparently on Friday.
Yep.
Is Valdez on Saturday? Is he lined up? When's he?
You had to ask me, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
It's J.P. France, I think, on Saturday, and then Hunter Brown on Sunday.
And then you've got Valdez and Javier and back to Verlander in Texas?
Yep. So it's Rodon,
6 days.
It's Rodon and Verlander.
It'll be interesting 6 days. The Astros have got to win. Oh,
I'm sorry. Here we go. Hunter Brown Saturday, Javier Sunday, according to this. But that's what it says here. So.
All right. Interesting 6 days. Kind of pivotal for what the Astros are going to do. You got last place team and a team you're in the hunt with. You come out of this 4-2, depending on if it's the right 4-2, and when you do it, you can give yourself a little separation. And you have to be able to do that from the Texas group to go ahead and get advanced to the playoffs comfortably.
All right, everybody. That's the final word on this Extra Bases. And until next time, we're saying goodbye, but leave comments, questions, and all that stuff below. We'll answer them and blah, blah, blah. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Extra Bases with Bristol and Booth. And there's a shot of Jeremy right there as Jeremy does his Jeremy thing.
Future
Happy
Stars
birthday.
Series program. The Future Star Series program.
Yeah. What's the name of that book again?
Inside the Mind of a Scout. But I really want people to focus on the Future Star Series program.
All right, everybody. Till next time.